Jenny. Thank you so very much for joining us this evening on Radio Wātea. We appreciate your
tēnā
time
koe.
This evening. Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe.
Well, the government has missed a crucial opportunity to redesign the resource management system with climate and nature at its heart. That's what you reckon. Let's talk about that first, Eugenie, before we get on to why Tainui Waikato is vehemently opposed to the resource management reform. But firstly, you say management system with climate and nature at its heart. The government missed a crucial opportunity.
Kia ora, can I just correct one thing? The bill has only just been, or the two bills, there's the Natural Built Environments Bill and the Strategic Planning Bill. They've only just been introduced to Parliament. They haven't even had their first debate. And normally, after the first reading or the first debate, the bills would go to select committee and then be open for public submissions. So we haven't had that yet. The Natural Built Environments Bill is 807 pages long. So I, like many others, are working our way through it. But the impression I've had from what I have read is one of the government's ambitions is that infrastructure projects, such as new wastewater plants, new renewable energy wind turbines, new roads, new cycle paths, that those can be built and consented much more quickly than under the RMA. And the Greens' concern is that while we do need to reduce the consenting time for some of our projects, we need to take te tāio into account, because without a healthy natural environment, healthy water, healthy clean air, we cannot sustain ourselves as tangata. So some of the provisions put proceeding with this infrastructure ahead of protection of the environment. And we would like to see in the purpose and the principles and throughout the legislation a much greater commitment to protection of the climate and protection of te tāio. So there will be, I hope, an opportunity for submissions, and I'm speaking tonight as a Green MP, not as chair of the Select Committee.
Yeah, ka pai. I do want to pick up on that timing, because that was one of the issues that our tribal leaders had talked about as well, was the very short time frame to get submissions into the Select Committee. They had said that it was a rushed deal, even though there had been aspects of this reform out and about in the community for consultation. The type of consultation, the definition of that differs from what the government, how the government defines consultation with some of the iwi groups. We've got some of the iwi groups that have not had settlements yet, not been consulted with, versus those that have settled, being consulted with, but not in the manner in which they wish to. So generally speaking, Eugenie, are we seeing a rushed process?
So this is the biggest law change for our laws around te tāio in 30 years. The Resource Management Act is just over 30 years old, introduced and passed in 1991. And while the law changes are based on something called the Randerson Review, which was done a couple of years ago, the Minister, David Parker, has made it very clear that he wants these two bills passed before the election, which presumably will be late next year, though that date's yet to be announced. So that means the Select Committee will not have very much time, will probably have the usual 6 months, but that, given that people are likely to have to make submissions over the Christmas break, Greens are concerned about the compressed timeframe for such a important law change that we really need to get right. So I would share those concerns, and that is what the government has clearly indicated. It's not something the Select Committee can really control, so the responses need to go to ministers, and any concerns go to ministers, because that's a timeframe that the government is requiring.
And can I also pick up on your point around kai kōrero for Pāti Kākāriki? Absolutely not, as the spokesperson for the Select Committee. That's absolutely right as well too. But is it coming, is it going to your Environment Select Committee though, Eugenie?
The minister hasn't said that. He would normally say that the first time it gets debated in the House, which we expect to be next week. But I'm expecting that it would come to the Environment Committee, because we held submissions on the exposure draft last year, which was just the sort of the first few sections of the bill, and there were a lot of submissions from the New Zealand Māori Council, iwi, hapu and others. Strong support for the concept of te mana o te tāo and te mana o te wai, and those principles and that te ao Māori perspective being very firmly embedded in the legislation, but concerns about the mana whakahono e rohe arrangements and what would be the mechanisms by which iwi and hapu would be sitting at the table and making these decisions on the plans and on the resource consents. And I think, won't comment obviously on this national Māori body, but I imagine that the Select Committee will get a lot of submissions about how are these arrangements to work so that iwi and hapu and mana whenua have a strong voice at the table in these decisions.
I want to talk about your position as the chair of the Environment Select Committee. That must be, will it be, is it going to be advantageous for those that are making a submission to this that wish to express concern to the government, or wish the government to flesh out in more detail, clarification, that the chair of the Select Commission knows the kaupapa intimately enough to allow that corridor to be fleshed out in a manner in which they are comfortable, the submitters are comfortable, as opposed to perhaps the Crown wanting to have it rushed through? I'm just wondering how you're positioned here.
So, again, I don't want to talk as the chair of the Select Committee, because the Select Committee has not even considered the bill. It hasn't been referred to it yet. But we'll say generally as an MP, the Select Committee process is the key step to allow all of the views of members of the public and submitters to be considered. And MPs give very serious attention to the concerns that are raised, and all legislation is improved by having that public scrutiny and having the government agencies and the committee respond to those concerns. So in terms of any law change, making representations to ministers but also making submissions to the Select Committee are always helpful. The ministers, of course, don't sit on the Select Committee, but they are responsible for the policy decisions that and what are the Select Committee's recommendations they'll actually accept as the executive.
So can we also just clarify for our listeners then, our whānau, then, that aren't used to the process, not sit there, they don't sit there.
No,
listen,
they don't.
But their officials do, don't they? So,
yes, so
the officials that will be taking note and going back and making, well, and discussing what with the ministers?
So the Select Committees are trying to be more accessible, and with Environment Committee Tāo, we've had a lot of Zoom hearings. We had people submitting, because they only had Wi-Fi at McDonald's, I think, in Taitokorao, and so they were just able to Zoom in and present their submission on a Zoom call. So we try to be accessible. Submitters are talking to MPs on the Select Committee, but the officials from Ministry for the Environment are in the room. They analyse all the submissions that come in and produce a departmental report and recommendations in response to the submissions, and then the Select Committee decides which of those they want to adopt and comes up with other ideas as well. So it's sort of a process of continual discussion of raising ideas and responding.
Can I also go to the point that you had made regarding Tāo and going back to the kōrero that you had in your pānui about climate and nature at its heart? It was interesting because I listened back twice to the minister's presentation that they made when we had a media lock-up on to read through the reform, and I listened back twice, and there was a lot of kōrero around development, not much in comparison to clarification or detail, explanation of detail around sustainability, around policy to ensure safeguards, safety of Te Ao. But there was a lot on, there was a lot to, of kōrero around development, freeing up land, freeing up bureaucracy, freeing up pūtea to build more land, to build more whare on and make land accessible for building and development. There seems to be, from my perspective, a focus and an intent on development. That's not to say that they're not focused on the Te Ao, but in that presentation, there are a lot, that it was majority kōrero around development.
I would agree with that, and that was why we made the comments we did in our pānui, because yes, we do need more whare. We can't have people sleeping in cars and in motel units, but that should not be at the expense of cutting corners on ensuring te pāo is sustained. So that has been our impression too, that there is a lot of focus on making development happen more quickly and less costly for subdividers, land developers, agencies promoting new infrastructure. But there hasn't been a lot of kōrero on te pāo. So I think that's a fundamental concern of ours, that this focus on development and infrastructure means that te pāo comes second.
Last night we spoke with Dr. Mahina Rangi Baker, and she talked about sustainability. She said that under these reforms, and of course I have probably misquoted her, but I'm sure you'll be able to understand what I'm saying. She said even under these reforms there is no set plan, or there's no set plan to ensure that sustainability and benchmarks around degradation are identified. Have I got that correct? Have I misquoted it?
So one of the problems with the Resource Management Act is that the Act has been focused on adverse effects and avoiding, remedying and mitigating adverse effects. There's a new approach in this new legislation which focuses much more on ensuring that there is a move towards meeting certain environmental targets and outcomes. But to us, that's still quite vague. And one of the reasons the RMA hasn't worked is that councils haven't, when there's been bad behaviour, people clearing riparian vegetation, polluting streams, they haven't always enforced their own plan rules. So we need a much stronger compliance monitoring and enforcement. But it is changing the fundamental focus of the legislation away from sustainable management to these environmental outcomes. And it's the question of whether those are correctly drafted and just how we'll get the certainty that we'll actually achieve those. So it's a big change. It's going to take a while to go through the process and then even more to actually implement in practice. One of the other big changes is that there are a lot of district and regional plans, and those are being consolidated so that we'll only have one unitary sort of plan, one per region. So there's a lot of work, and the government's saying it's going to take several years to bed in, so there's a lot of change ahead.
And how many regions will there be?
There are 14 at the moment, and that's, I think looking at the plan, the focus is on having those plans at that regional level. My apologies, I've now got to go and speak in Parliament.
Very good. Well, thank you so very much for joining us this evening, Eugenie. All the very best to you, and we look forward to seeing how this is going to roll out. Thank you very much for joining.